Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. So please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, the weekend podcast. It's a bit of a change from the weekday podcast. This is where we just talk nonsense as opposed to real stuff. In the weekday podcast, and I'm joined by Naive Steve and Sweet Pete. You're right, guys.
Yeah, hi.
I understand that's your graffiti tags you use, isn't it, when you're graffitiing Cardiff and Gaislemere?
That's very middle class graffiti.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. All right, lads. Well, ooh, I say, what an exciting week, eh? It's been in the markets, eh?
Very sexy.
Sexy. Yeah, but compared to me. So, we had this discussion on. First of all, I asked for one question a week from you guys. You know, it's 6 or 7 days to come up with a question. Steve fails on that account on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, if he even has a question, his brain cells aren't big enough to hold the question for 7 days. It slips out somewhere, down his trouser leg, out on the floor. And but this week, Steve, I sent an email around about a stock called Snoozebox. And Steve had a question. We'll get to that, but we had a bit of a text tangle on the subject of Arth, AsiaMet, which, of course, I had the who's who in the zoo. Tony Manini was in the podcast.
Yeah.
And we were saying, I think Peter started it off, and he said, right, hands up, because I had him on the podcast, and it'd been up the week pretty much, you know, a big chunk up in the couple of weeks, hasn't it? So yeah. It's almost doubled in price, more than doubled in price anyway. And then he came on the podcast, and he talked about the prospects and stuff, and it turns out, you know, we all knew this is a good asset. The PEA is yet to come to substantiate that, but we know what's happening here. And so I came off the podcast 30-odd percent up, and then it dipped down a bit. And then it's up again today, and Pete... text saying, okay, hands up, who is selling a little bit of AsiaMet? And I looked at it and I was tempted, right?
It's and way then, too high for you to sell, really, because you sell when it's quite low. That's your thing.
But do you know the annoying thing, right? I started buying AsiaMet, I think, way back when it was about one, I think it was 1.5, 1.6 on that, you know, and it kept coming down. So I scaled in, and I had a big chunk in there, you know, a nice big chunk. And even then, when it went up to like 1.5 pence, I was in profit, you know? So I thought, I'm going to descale, de-risk. At the time, you know, I was a couple of weeks back, I suppose, I thought, we don't know where the markets are going. And so I sold a big chunk. What I didn't realise is I bought this stock as well for my brother and my father, a better price than I bought. And I, you know, two big chunks each for them. I looked yesterday, right, and I haven't got a lot in there. They've got about 4 or 5 times as much money in there as me. And also their percentage gain is better. Like my father's on 135% up and my brother's 139% up. And I thought, what the heck? I'm earning their money. And this just shows you.
Are you working on a commission or?
No, this just shows you how you can, you know, ruin your, by a bit of noise and trading in and out, messing around. Can really cut your profits, you know?
And your profits, yeah.
Yeah, but you said today, Pete, you know, who ends up who's selling a bit? And let's go through the text here. And Steve, did you put a... do you try and sell some? You sold some, did you?
Yeah, so I set a sell limit at 3.5 pence, which obviously it hit briefly today, so that's I sold out there.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how brief it hits it, Steve. you can't say to your stockbroker, excuse me, it's only for a couple of seconds. Any chance you can get me back in? Because it's going back up now, thanks. So yeah, you sold out, and
I will buy back in. But
are you out completely though, Steve?
I'm out completely, yeah, but I will probably buy back in. But it will come back down though, I think. I don't mean really? Yeah.
Well, hang on, the thing is this, Steve,
Bloomberg,
right?
Steve.
I know, Steve. The thing is this, right? Now we argue back and forth. Steve, well, he actually swore on text saying, "Yeah, F Justin's rules. I'm taking some profit." And there are no rules in this. And of course, the only thing I question is this, because I was going to sell a bit. I thought, well, I haven't got that much in there really, and so this is what I thought. I thought we've been here before, Steve, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
With Aited Energy.
Mm-hmm.
You sold too early. Then it went up like crazy again, and you were sort of, you know, you even sort of deleted it from your watch list because you couldn't watch it. And I'm thinking, and at the time we said, we're not traders, guys. We're not traders, and the difference is, you know, short to long term. Now we know this is a good long term asset, don't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're trying to trade the market here, or you are, Steve. And out of all three of us, the one with the least amount of experience is trying to trade the market. I understand you took a profit, that's fine, if you're a day trader, but you've got another job. You're not a day trader.
Mm.
And I'm just thinking, why not just hold what you have there, let it come down a bit and buy some more, put some limit orders in and buy some more, because how will you know when to get back in now?
I've got some alerts to remind me when it goes, if it goes down to 3.25 and 3. But I might buy back in around about there, maybe if it, well, I'll obviously keep an eye on it, and if it goes down lower, I'll just see where it kind of.
But you sold at 3.5. It's not a huge difference. You sold at 3.5. You want to get back in at 3.25?
No. I'm not going to buy back in at 3.25. I've just got an alert to tell me what it is.
Yeah, and we're going to do that. Oh, right, 3.25. Yeah,
and keep an eye on it.
Yeah, to have a cup of tea.
Hang on a minute.
Just cross your legs, have a biscuit.
You don't know how much money I had in there. I could be like £100,000 in there, and you know, I could have made.
Who? What's the alert for, though? What's it for?
Make me aware.
Aware of what? That's a limit I'm not going to buy any stock at. Come down a bit more. Nope, not going to buy there either. Thanks for alerting me, though. So that's what I'm saying.
So Justin, what about the stock that you sold at 1.5?
Yeah, I know, because I was overexposed. I was believing in. Listen, yeah.
How recent was that?
It was I don't know actually. Listen, you do remember the bear market? Copper started rallying, didn't it? And I thought,
yeah.
and I was still a lot of bit of worry on the horizon about the market. It still is. But now I feel more comfortable at the level I'm at now with a smaller holding. And at the time, I felt overexposed and uncomfortable with it. So I had to, what's called, de-risk. Steve hasn't.
So we could sit here and laugh like you've just laughed.
Yeah, I know.
That, couldn't we?
I know, but I'm not saying Steve did wrong. He made a profit there. But what, yeah. I'm playing. Hello, I'm the devil's advocate. Oh, hello, where's the devil? He couldn't make it. He sent me along to argue for him. So
hang on a minute. Even if it does drop down to 3 and I buy back at 3, okay, it's only 0.5 pence difference. But still, I've taken a bit of money and I'm going to invest. So I'm better off anyway. So what's the laugh about there?
So it goes down. What's the laugh about there then? Okay, but so it goes down 2.5 then.
I'll buy some more at 2.5.
But I think it's also, what if it doesn't really go back? It might cool off a little bit, but will it ever get down now?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it probably will. It probably will. But
it probably will. We don't know, do we? The PE is going to be out.
No.
And it could be. Listen, there's one thing I know, right? Only one. So there's one more thing than Steve. But I don't think that Tony Manini is over-egging the pud. You know what I'm saying? I think this PE will come out and it'll be a bit stronger than we think. And that's why I think he's saying what he's saying. Because, you know, so I'm thinking, wait until the PE. And I know there's all, if you're a trader, you buy on rumour, sell on fact, you know, pretty much, to get a quick profit. But like I said, Steve, this could be, you know, I'm talking about a 200 million, 400 million dollar company, a pound company, in about 5 years' time. You know, and I just think, when you have a bit of skin in the game, you pay more attention. I'm not saying you did anything wrong here. I'm just thinking, because I nearly did sell a bit. And I thought, I haven't got that much in it, and I don't mind if I you know, I'm over 100% up. I don't mind if it goes down to where I'm only 50% up, because I'll buy some more. And to me, that's a chance to get on board now, knowing where the stock is going to go. And you know, I just feel more comfortable now with the stock. You know,
but the other thing that, or one of the things that Mr. Manini said was that there is, in his opinion, and I know what he's doing, and he's promoting his stock and promoting his company, but he was saying there is going to be, you know, plenty of time to get in on this stock as part of the, what does he call it, the value creation curve or whatever. I.e., you know, he's foreseeing a stock price far in advance of where it is at the moment, in, like you say, in years to come. So it's not like, oh, well, Steve's done what he's done now, that's the end of it. If he ends up buying in back at, when it's at 5p or 6p and it ends up at 20p, you know, he's still going to make money, isn't he? Or if he watches it and if he makes his decisions at the right time and buys well, he's kind of, he's sold out, he's made some profit. That's not a bad thing. It's not it's equally not a bad thing if he buys in further down the track, if things develop like Mr. Manini is saying.
See, you say I'm not a trader, Jess, but you know what? I've split my head down the middle. I'm trading on some shares.
It sounds like you have.
And I'm investing in others. So I've got my New Oil, World and Gas. You know, I could have taken a profit out of that, but I decided not to. And I'm glad I didn't, because I'm long-term invested that I'm going to become rich off them.
Yeah, no, listen, Steve, there's no wrong or right. All I'm doing is questioning, because I was nearly, when Pete sent that text, I did log into my stockbroker account, looked at it, I was 120% up, I think I was over there, and I thought, should I take some off? And I haven't got a huge chunk in there, and I thought, I'm happy to sit. It won't go back. I'm not going to lose money on this now if it comes back a bit. Mm. And in fact, I'll use that now as an opportunity to top up. And I just thought, let's try and increase the units I have in Asia Met. It's like this. It's extremes, isn't it? Literally, sometimes we think either get in or get out, and yet we don't think there's a bit in the middle there where we don't have to get in or get out.
Absolutely. We can literally
scale in and scale out rather than jump in or jump out. You know.
Another thing to do is just take your initial stake out, and then basically you've got free shares, haven't you? So basically, the holding you've got left is you haven't paid for.
Yeah.
So then you could just watch them.
That's what I did consider. Yeah, that's what I did consider doing. But I thought, I'm not overexposed here. I'm happy to sit and see my profit.
Wait till it goes to 1.5 again and sell then.
Yeah, no, see my profit fluctuate a little bit. Yeah, and I'll put an alert on it. When it hits that, I'll put a pot noodle on.
Steve is right there. You're not comfortable selling when it's up, you know, big profit. You much prefer, much closer to the price you paid. You're much more comfortable with just a 10% profit. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I wait until it gets
their own strategy, Justin.
I wait until it gets down to 10% and I'll sell a lot. Yes! No, but look, this is a longest-term story, isn't it? You know, the first mine, BKM, there isn't in production, like you said. It's what, 2018? And it's end of 2018. So, you know, that's revenue will not start coming in till then. And so we may have some good news in the meantime. But like I said, there will be plenty of op to get in and get out. Yes. But I think part of me thinks, I don't know. You know, certain stocks, I just think this is an investment rather than the trader. And you can trade it.
Yeah.
You know. And but certain stocks I will have a punt at and be happy to get out.
The more you hear about the story, the more you kind of, I understand, you know, what's going on, the assets they've got, the potential of the assets, and the fact that they can make money now at a very low copper price. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? And if the copper continues its recovery, you know, it's only going to get better. Obviously, maybe we haven't seen the bottom of copper, and the bottom will fall out the bottom, and it will, you know, there's all sorts of things that could go on that could affect the price. But as it stands now, it seems to be a kind of mid to long term story, and Tony and his guys seem to be onto a good thing. So I'm happy to hold for now.
Yeah, me too. So you didn't top slice any, you know?
I didn't, no. And I kind of, because we got in at a very low price, I sort of quite fancy that helps my keep my average down, doesn't it? So if I buy in at a later date, at whatever price, having those in the portfolio at a low price keeps my average buy price very at a decent level and maximises my gains long term. That's my theory.
Yeah. Talk about double-digit rises. I had a lucky, on Thursday there, I bought into Ascent Resources, I think, at 0.9. Mm. I think it was a penny, something like that. And it's been hovering around that level for a while, going nowhere. Then on Thursday, it was up like in the morning by 27%, coming back 20%. What's going on here? And since you realise there's some rumours going on, because it hadn't jumped on that for a long time, you know? And yes. Then in the afternoon, RNS came out saying there's a possible takeover happening, and it was up by 193%. But even when that came out, it was amazing. I had the Vox Market app, right?
Yeah.
And it, bing, sent me the thing, possible takeover. I was looking at the stock, it was still 27% up, right? And I thought, oh, that's obviously why this is happening. I thought, it's got to jump a bit on that, surely. It was literally 5-10 minutes before it started really motoring. Yeah. And that's how good the Vox Market app is, you know? I mean, if I was a trader, if I was somebody tops info on who's on the podcast now again, you'd have jumped in there. And look, you know, I don't know where it would have gone, but you'd have gone from 27%, 25% up to 193% and just taking a bit of profit and run, you know? So that's why it's essential to get your Vox Market app and you know, get a watch list of companies. I got a massive... Have you seen my watch list? Massive.
Well, that's
You'd
one
be
of my
really
questions.
Impressed by my watch list.
I've heard about your watch list. impress the ladies with your watch list.
Yeah, one of my chat-up lines. Hey, ladies, check out my watch list, yeah. Just scroll through that lot.
Based on that stock, on Ascent, because that's on my watch list, because they were on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. That was going to be one of my questions. Actually, I realised I'm sort of not watching my watch list, which is probably do you watch your watch list every day, or what's your
Well, you can see when you get the push notification, you can see the title of it can be if it's just like a new presentation or some of that or some nonsense, or if it's a big company and it's got directors shareholdings, it's not going to be a massive event.
Clive from accounts is leaving.
Yeah, exactly. Natalie's pregnant. Everyone, yay! Can we give her? Can you sign a card? If it's one of those, don't bother. And obviously, but when you see a takeover thing, you've got to look at it really and see what's going on there. Because the reason why I got into Ascent, I like Colin very much. They got a cracking asset there in Eastern Europe somewhere else, and they were looking for a permit to be able to sell gas into the market. And that permit is imminent, any minute now. So this is a good... The stock hasn't risen so much on this. So I'm going to get into that. I'll wait for that permit to be announced and maybe sell for a nice little profit. And then all of a sudden, this surprise news number comes out. Takeover bid. Wow! So, yeah, so I just sat there now. But like that, again, that went up by 193%. Ended up 110%. Do I get out? I think, hang on, because there isn't a confirmation of a takeover.
Now that's all just fueled by hype and rumor.
Yes,
amazing. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And that's the difference between trading and long-term investing.
That is the difference. Yes. Steve is a bit of a trader, I think.
Oh,
Pete, I think we've got a trader amongst us. Oh no, Stephen, this podcast is for investors only. You are a trader.
I just like to mix it up and be a bit.
Sorry,
dangerous.
Son. We are 100% investors on this podcast.
Yeah,
you, it seems like you turned out to be a trader.
Yeah, after we're all buy and hold. We are buy, he's buy, I'm hold.
Yeah, after all we taught you, you turn out like a trader. Get out of this house. You disgust us. Me and the wife have brought you up, me and Pete Petrona, there. We brought you up to invest, and you ended up a trader. Get the lipstick on. What are you wearing lipstick for? Get out. You dirty trader. Hang my head in shame. So my son's turned out to be a trader. earlier on, we always try and bring, something of use to the podcast. Doesn't often happen. Invariably doesn't happen. But this week, Steve actually did send me a question that was quite valuable, I thought. And apart from that question, Steve, do you ever have any more questions?
Do you know, I can't even remember what question I asked you now.
Yeah, well, exactly. We're only another question. I mean, it slipped out of his brain, down his trouser leg. Peter, do you have any questions?
I've asked a couple already.
Have you?
Yeah.
Peter, bring a question to the table. Come on.
I brought a couple of questions.
No, good. All right,
but
then.
Not very technical. Steve's was quite technical, which is good. Let's get serious.
Yes. So listen, I had someone send me an email saying, check out this company. It's called Snoozebox. Now, this company has been a bit of a serial disappointer. You know, share price has gone down, 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 down. Steve, who sings that? down 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 down
down down down down down down down
down down down down down down down down down down down down down
down down down down down
down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down down.
Yeah, and, Paul Johnson.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, yeah, he's doing very well, Paul Johnson.
Steve knows his stuff.
That's another stock doing very well for me, Metal Tiger. Do you own any Metal Tiger Boys?
No.
Metal Tiger Boys? No. And that's one of those ones around the same time I was buying Asia Met back in the,
was it?
You know, heady 2015.
Were you doing, Peter, do you own some?
No.
Oh, okay.
I really should have bought some back then.
I shouldn't ask Steve the trader because he wouldn't have bought them.
He's probably sold out for a massive profit already.
How much have they gone up by since when you recommended?
Yeah, I'm up over 100% in those.
All right.
Yeah. I got three stocks now, triple-digit gains in my portfolio, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you know why, Steve? Because I'm a buy-and-hold investor. I'm not a trader. All right.
Should we talk about some of your losses as well or not?
No, yes, because I'm a buy-and-hold. I buy and hold. Even if they're rubbish.
That's quite a good point, in that like there's seemingly at the moment quite a lot of interesting stocks. I mean, there always are, but
that's a profound statement. There are some very interesting stocks out there.
Oh, there are there sort of quite a few opportunities, and it's pretty difficult to know which ones to back and which ones to kind of stay.
Yeah, well, this will help. This will help. Let's get to Steve's question, right? I had a message about Snoozebox. Now, this is a company that provide quite a, you know, very easy, and I like this. It's easy to explain. You know, they provide basically hotel rooms for events or for like big building works or something like that. So they're very nice and they fit on containers. They're exactly the same size as a container. So, you know, easy to transport. And they've done deals with like oil companies, because oil companies obviously will work somewhere for, you know, a couple of years maybe or several months. And so they need nice accommodation, but something that's temporary, but you know, it's almost like permanent, but temporary, you know? And so they're supplying more and more events. I think they did only two music events last year. This year it's about 14. And so they've had to spend more building these things. So they're spending a lot, but they've raised a lot. And I said, someone raised this point. I said, look, check out this company, net assets and everything like this. And so Steve said, what are net assets? Here you go. Here's the email here. First of all, at the start of the game on Saturday, I text Pete and Steve, you know, this is the France, England, Grand Slam. I said, "Oh, it's a biggie." And then about a day later, Steve replied, "Was this in reference to the text message last night? Sounds good." And he was referring to the snooze box email I sent. It's like he has been snoozing. And so I said, "No." So I said, "No, the reference was the England-France game. It was just starting." Anyway, and I said, "I have a question, which I can ask on the podcast next week, but you can answer it now for me. What is the difference between current assets and net assets?" Which is a good thing. Listen, if you ever read any, you should start reading now, Steve. You're at that level where you can start to read, I think. I know I loaned you a book once to read, and it was Radio 1 book. You got halfway through it, and I think you gave up then. But anyway, listen, interims and finals, right? Now, do you know what those are, Steve?
No, explain.
Well, a company will release annual reports, right? I call it finals. That's for the year, essentially all the figures for the year. All right, and they'll have the bit of a talk from the CEO at the start. They have the highlights, and then they'll get down to the brass tacks, financial bits. Those are the finals, obviously, for the year. And then they'll submit interims, which is like for the 6 months, all right, of that year. Some companies release quarterly updates as well, every 3 months. But if you're into a company, then you should read, you know, or if you have a browse through them, the finals or interims. And I always do now is look at these straight away. If a company hasn't released, I'm looking at a company, I will go back to the interims and look at the last interims or finals, definitely. And I think if you're going to look at the interims or finals, these are the areas you should look at. First and foremost, read, yes, the top bit, the highlights. This is what the company want to show you, want to tell you about their best bits, all right? And they can say, oh, we achieved an EBITDA profit. Ooh, EBITDA! EBITDA! Listen, EBITDA is a bit of fugazi, you know? It's a, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, I remember sort of Warren Buffett's right-hand man saying, listen, that's cloud cuckoo land revenue, essentially. You know, doesn't mean anything. All it is that they've got some revenue coming in, you know. They're not taking anything off that. So earnings before, income tax, depreciation, I mean, and, you know, amortization, all that. So basically, it's money comes through the till with nothing else taken off, you know. So it doesn't say anything, does it? Because I can say, oh, I've got an EBITDA of 10 million. Now my bills could be 50 million. So, you know, in big trouble. So ignore that. So they may be saying they've made a profit in some way. So just read through the highlights. It's worth looking at the highlights because and the little outlook. It's always worth it. But the three sections that has to be included in every finance is an income statement, a balance statement, a cash flow statement. Those three things you should look at. And it'll take you a while to get your head around. I'm only starting, after a long time of looking at it and trying to work through it, I'm starting to get my head around them. But I've also looked at the income statement. I thought, okay, but I think the balance statement is very good because a lot of companies, like value investors, will look at a balance sheet and they look at the net asset value of a company. And Steve did say, what's the difference, obviously, between current assets and net assets? So I sent you know, the balance sheet of Snoozebox. And essentially, current assets are things that are very liquid, you know? So cash. So if they're in trouble, it's basically, this is the stuff that can bail them out straight away. If they, you know, tomorrow they said, right, you've got to, you know, sell up. This is the stuff they can sell straight away. So cash, inventory, stock that's going to be sold straight away, and also bills, trading of the receivables, they're old, right? So if you look at like Snoozebox, they have current assets of 12.7 million. Now, I don't know what they're, let's look at their actual, and that's, I know it's above their market cap. Which is not a bad thing, it's a good thing, you know? So, Snooze, ZZZ, and they're having a bigger year, but they are spending a lot, it's a trouble. So, let's go to the thing. So, and of that, it's about 10 million in cash, all right? I'm just looking at Cent Resources there. 3.1 market cap there, that's not bad, because, right, Snoozebox. Let's look. There's 7.7 million market cap Snoozebox are, right? Mm. So, they've got 10 million in cash. That is good, isn't it? So literally, yeah. The company is worth less, even with their stock and stuff, and you know their deals and revenue. It's worth less than what they have in their bank in cash. And yes, they did make a loss last year. They burned what did they burn? About I think 2 million or something like that. 3 million it was they burned last year, and they're looking to burn 5 million this year. All right. So essentially, that's because they're building more of these you know these hotels. But essentially, there's a company there now. At current cash burn, 5 million a year. They can run for 2 years.
What would you expect it to be based on a PE of...
Well, you're hoping. So Steve first said, what is a net current asset? So the current assets are the stuff they can get rid of straight away to, you know, sell, they have cash, you know, trade receivables and sort of inventories, right? Now you have non-current assets. This is stuff that has been more harder to get rid of, like plant and equipment and all that stuff that may not be sellable. You know, people may not want to buy it, you know, because it's not worth it. It's quite niche, maybe. But you always want, and so you want liabilities to be less. So Steve also said, and what is net assets? So what you want for any balance sheet, really, in a company, is to obviously they've got a lot, assets versus liabilities. And obviously you want the assets to be bigger than the liabilities, you know? Mm-hmm. If they're not, and they've got, you know, they have more liabilities than assets, that's not a good sign for the company, unless they've got a lot of revenue coming in and they can cover out, oh, they've got, you know, owed a lot. But that's a bad thing. So, for example, let's look at a Snoozebox here. It's got current liabilities of 3.9 million to total current assets of 12.7 million. So you can see, you know, they've got a cracking chunk there. So you should. So basically, if you take away, and it's worth doing this for both, because they put total liabilities and total assets, but it's worth just looking at the current assets and current liabilities.
Okay.
And I don't know if you may have missed it, but by no one is watching a clock on Thursday, ADVFN released their results, and right. They haven't got enough assets, current assets, to cover their liabilities. You know, it's the other way around. Now, Snoozebox is the other way. So if you look at, they did say in forward guidance, Snoozebox, they have made an EBITDA loss of 5 million this year. That's been the cash burn of 5 million. Now, they have 10 million in the bank. So for 2 years, pretty much, they can run at current cash burn, you know. But they're also turning over money. And, you know, they are making a turnover. What was the last turnover here? So they turned over, I think, last year, 2.8 million. It's going to be more than that this year. So they've got revenue coming in. So you should always look. That's the balance sheet part where the assets are, right? So there's three bits you should look at. What are they? Name one of them, Steve.
What?
It's okay, we'll edit this bit out. So, Steve, there are three bits that have to be included in a finals account, a company releases. Name one of them.
Current net assets.
We'll edit this bit out as well. Steve, there are three bits of financial information, statements, that a company must include in a financial results. Name one of them.
The finals.
Yeah, we'll edit that bit out.
It's balance sheet.
You're not going to leave this in, are you? Say
balance sheet
for one. Balance sheet. Hang on, let me ask you. I have to edit it again. So, Steve, a company will release its final results and it has to include three statements in there. What are they? Name one of them.
Oh, balance sheet's got to be one of them.
Thank you for listening, Steve. Well done, fella. And on the balance sheet, what would you find, for example? Name a couple of things you'd find.
Your net current assets.
Exactly. So you'll look at assets versus liabilities. What does that mean, Steve?
We'll shorten this gap as well.
Yeah.
That means... Oh, I don't know.
Well, look at it in terms of a business. Steve, if you wanted a business, what would it be? Let's say you've got a business, a shop or something. Let's say what it'd be. What name a shop?
Tesco.
Let's say you own Tesco, yeah. That's already taken now. Let's say you...
just said name a business.
Okay, let's say Tesco, right? Now you've got people you have to pay, all right? You've got bills and stuff and everything there. At the end of the day, if you cashed all that up, right? You have stuff you own that's worth money and stuff, the bills you have to pay, yeah? Now you'd want stuff you own to be bigger than the bills you have to pay, yeah?
Mm.
And obviously you imagine the bigger the stuff you own is... and cash you have, the better, isn't it? So if you have like, let's say, they make it round figures, let's say you had 100 quid of cash and stock and all you owed was 10 quid, your net assets are 90 quid.
Doesn't
that's all right, isn't
run
it?
Your business better though, is it?
What?
Doesn't mean you're going to run your business better.
No, but
better.
If you haven't got any assets, you can't run a business pretty much. You have to borrow money.
You could be the asset. It doesn't have to be a value.
You could be intangible assets. That's on the balance sheet. And they put that down. It's valued in a certain way. Intangible assets, yes. What I'm saying is, it's always good.
That would come up as a cost.
What? Yeah, no, it'd be as an asset, yes. If you got, it's like software.
An actually valued asset if it wasn't actually worth anything.
Well, no, it's like, for example, if you get proprietary software or anything that's, in fact, a brand, for example, you know, you can have that as an asset because it is worth something, isn't it? So it's what it's worth. Obviously, I don't know what kind of accounting system they use to value that. But it is worth something, yeah.
Quite complicated, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but value investors will look at a balance sheet, right? And they'll say, what is the net assets of this company? You know, what's it actually worth? And then they'll say, well, essentially, you know, this company has got net assets of... like you'll see certain AIM companies. You can do it with Snoozebox. This has got net assets now of 12.8 million. And it's got total assets of 30.14 million. So that's the assets altogether. So, and it's only valued at 7.7 million. That is undervalued as a company, you know? And
it would be easier if the companies were just quite straight with you and they just told you if their share price was going to go up, wouldn't it? And you wouldn't have to do all this.
I do know what. You've hit the nail on the head.
Hold on, he's onto something.
Let me just type an email to some of these companies. Excuse me. My mate Steve, who's a trader.
He's a trader.
Wants to know if his share price is going to go up or not. What do you think they'd say, Steve?
No, probably, yeah.
Yeah, because every person I've ever had on a podcast, a CEO or anything, I've never known anyone say, do you know what, our company, I would invest, actually. Share price is going to go down. Oh, we're in a dreadful state. We haven't paid half the bills. We've got no revenue coming in. I'm lying to shareholders. I can't believe it.
Yeah, but it'd make it easier for us, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Avoid. Yeah. Name three reasons why you should put us on your watch. No, listen, don't. Avoid. I am a shambles. I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't even got maths O level. I'm trying to run this company. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, obviously, they wouldn't come on the podcast. Only the ones that are going to go actually knew they were going to go up would come on there, wouldn't they? So just make it easier for all of us.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, have a look into it. You know, this is the way it's going to happen, Steve. This is the system. We can't change this, all right? This is the way. And so that's why you should always look at the cash flow as well, because they can't lie in the cash flow statement. At the top, in the, you know, in the introduction, the highlights they give, they can, you know, use clever trickery, adjusted EBITDA, you know, adjusted EBITDA before this or that, and all this stuff. They can mess around. When it comes to these statements, the balance sheet and the cash flow and the income statement, they can't lie. That's where the truth is. You know what I'm saying? And you can see what's happening there. So what's all I'm saying is they're worth getting to know, because that is the truth. You know, I'm sharing the truth in the company.
You explain it in a very easily digestible way that I take it in.
Thank you, Steve. Is that the trader speaking?
No, that's a compliment there.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying, though? That people do value it. Warren Buffett's a value investor, for example. He will look at certain things he look at when it comes to profit. Like I said the week before, we talked about profit. And there's gross profit, operating profit, before tax, profit after tax, then profit attributable to the company. He will only look at that figure as a ratio, pretty much, of the market cap of the company. And that's all he looks at. If that's a strong figure, then he likes it, you know? And he looks at companies on a value basis. He looks at net assets. He says, what the company is worth. If he took it apart today to sell it all, what would it be worth? And if it's worth pretty much, within, what he expects to pay for a company or at a market cap, he said, that company's undervalued, full stop. It's undervalued. It will re-rate sooner or later. And that's what value investors do. And over the long term, value investors do very well, you know? That's what I'm saying. It's different kinds of investing. You can invest on hype, on hope, or on value, you know, or earnings, or profit, anything. But value investing is very good because it doesn't lie, you know? It can't lie at all. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah. Going back to Snoozebox, and incidentally, I love their ticker code, ZZZ. That's very clever. Yeah, going back to the gap there between their net assets that they're showing on their balance sheet and the market cap as it is at the current share price, shares in issue, that gap there was 7 million up to 10 million of the assets, so 3 million gap. What would you expect, or what should you be looking for in terms of a valuation of a market cap compared to the assets?
Again, it's difficult because it varies, but all I know is you don't see that very often. It's not very often you'll see a company with, with 10 million of cash and 7.7 million. And not only that, they've also got other assets. Like, their assets are way above what their market cap is, and yet they've got revenue coming. Granted, they've been a bit of a serial disappointer because, they're as fast, it's almost like, they are expanding, they have to spend money. They're getting revenue in, and like they are spending more this year than ever, but that's because they're doing more events than ever. So it's almost like, it's a race between their revenue climbing and their cost climbing, And sooner or later, they'll get to the stage, obviously, they can't keep expanding forever, but they'll get to the stage where they have the new processes and enough equipment in line. They don't have to spend any more, build any more stuff. They can reuse the stuff they've got already, and then the costs will come down. And hopefully then the revenue will be high, and then they'll start turning a nice profit. That's what you hope for.
Because at the moment, they're not showing a profit. Is that right?
Let me have a look. They're showing... they were showing a... let me just check it out. You know what I'm saying? No. Yeah. But...
Because they did a placing at the end of last year.
Yeah, they did, yes. And this is pretty much the end of the gulf to build more stuff. So they have to up the inventory. Interim results, as like. So I'm looking at the top now. Revenue increases by over 300% to 2.4 million. This is interim, so about 5 million a year, hopefully. Growth in gross profit to 1.5 million. So that's gross profit, like I said. That's the top line of profit before anything else comes off that. So you'd think, so off 2.4 million, they're in a gross profit, of 1.5, So that's the gross margin there. It's a nice margin,
but working on a PE,
but then they made it, and a loss of 1.6. I think let's just scroll down,
So if you worked on a PE of 10 or something like that, can you work out then from that what you would expect?
Well, you can't, because a PE is worked out on pretty much profit attributable to the parent company. So that's after costs have come off, it's of a tax after all that. So so you can't really. But it's off to, you know. So listen, revenue 2.3 million, cost of sales 900,000, gross profit 1.5 million. Then they got logistics deployment for 700,000. So administration expense, this is where it's big. Administrative expenses 2.2 million. You know, that's their revenue pretty much, you know? So that is payments, that is, you know, costs, staff costs, and all that stuff. And that's a lot. But yeah, they burn basically. So it comes down to. So listen, so you've got loss for the year attributable to equity, to the shareholders, 3 million they've lost this year. But I'm just thinking they're fully funded, you know? Do you know what? And it's almost like saying, if you're looking at a P/E 10, right? A company, a company's turnover, if they have one, should be equal to their market cap.
Yes,
and that's a good, that's a good valuation. So if you look at that, so if they're turning over 100 million, right, then so on a 10%, so I'm talking about 10% operating margin here, that which is not high, you know. I mean, your mining companies are a lot better; they go 20, 25%, 30%, you know, operating margins.
Yeah,
but so. Let's say you turn over. Let's say you turn over 100 million, for example, and you got 10% profit there. So that's 10 million times that by 10, 100 million. See, so market 100 million, 10 million. So almost like look at it like that, and you can mess around with the figures like that. You think, well, okay, if Audioboom, for example, they're quite highly rated, you know. And by the way, I've sold up my Audioboom. I'm just thinking, I thought I was disappointed by the update, and I thought it should be more revenue than that coming in. And I think, listen. I will get back into Audioboom, and the you know, it's at the moment. Look, it's a 15 million market cap, right? And their revenue this year would be lucky to be about 3 million. Okay, take it. They are in an industry that they haven't got that many competitors, really, where they are. They are one of the market leaders, you know? So you've got to give them a premium for that. So let's say, for example, they turned over 5 million, you know, and they made a 10% profit. Yeah. Then that would be, obviously, a 30 PE.
Yes,
but they're not going to turn over 5 million, you know. So they're going to turn over less than 3. So I'm thinking, you know, these are still quite highly rated. For what I mean, like Snoozebox, for example, look, their turnover is going to be what, 5 million? That is what, you know, 5 times as much as Audioboom.
Yeah,
they've got cash as well. Snoozebox.
No, not turnover 5 million.
They will 2.4 was the interims. So they're hopefully five million, and
but
they're getting
not
big.
10 times, not 5 times Audioboom, because Audioboom, you said, will be about 3.
Yeah, but one, comparing like for like, for example, they will have a 5 million of revenue this year. Their market cap is only 7 million, and they got cash of 10 million. Audioboom, you know, have got revenue of what? I think lucky to be 3 million this year, maybe.
But Snoozebox are operating at, say, a 10% profit margin. So if you're saying 5 million turnover, it'll be, let's say, 500,000 profit. PE of 10 gives 5 million.
Bogged down in figures. But do you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, look at net assets. Just look at the company, and companies do trade way above their net asset values. They do. You know, it's not a be all and end all. It's just a way of valuing a company that's very accurate. And some people will not even look at high flying stocks that have a P of 100 because they say they're overvalued. Full stop. Regardless of whether you could have earned, ASOS, whatever it is called, is trading on a PE of 60 or something ridiculous. It's always done. It's always done that, you know? And they go,
what I'm saying is the market cap for the Snoozebox doesn't look too far out of, if you're looking at £500,000 profit, £7 million market cap doesn't look too.
Yeah, but also, take the cash, they got cash on that as well. So on top of that. So, what I'm saying is it's the things you look at when valuing a company, you know?
Yes. Where did you find Snoozebox, out of interest?
I was sent to, I was aware of Snoozebox for a while, but I didn't really look into one of the things that, you know, one of the stocks, so many stocks going around, isn't there? But I was sent an email by, let's have a look, I'll tell you. Snoozebox. Box. Yeah, I'll give it a mention because, Afazel. I don't know, I'd pronounce it. But a guy, he sent me an email saying, check out these, look at the net assets on these, look at the cash, they're expanding, the revenue's growing, you know, and just check them out. I think they've been forgotten. And the share price, what is the share price at the moment? It's Boost Knox. And And what I like at the moment, they're going to have their results soon, right? They forward guided a loss this year of, 5 million loss. So I'm hoping that's out there. And if you look at the share price, you know, it's had a hammering, and it hasn't moved a lot recently. And sometimes it's, you know, you see that, and it'll either drop by a 10% big drop on these results, 2.625 pence. I bought them like last Sunday. They're still there, pretty much. They haven't moved. And I quite like that when it doesn't move for a long time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they may drop by 20%. I doubt it, though, with that kind of. What I'm saying is that the share price, I believe, there is supported by the cash, you know, and the net asset value. I mean, how low can this go before this company? It's just ridiculous. You know, this company, they could sell up tomorrow and get more as a shareholder than if they carried on trading, you know? So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you get a share price that's supported by their assets alone. So, you know, there are companies like, I mean, you know, we buy on a bit of hype and hope. I mean, like Asia Met, I know they have future, you know, earnings there, massive aspects. Potential.
Yeah.
But at the moment, you check out the balance sheet and asset, or even, sorry, because they have assets. I mean, if you look at Andilas Energy, for example, CEB, they haven't got any many assets. You know, they didn't have any assets until recently. And yet they're 9 million they're worth. It's market cap, you know?
Yep.
And apparently they need, you know, I don't know how much cash they got. It's not a huge amount. I mean, it's close to, say, a mil, probably a million. And yet they're trading 9 million. So where does that valuation come? And you can see why some people say, oh, they're overvalued, or they won't touch them. But they have the potential, hopefully, with the team they got in there, to do an amazing job, you know? So it's all what people value. But when it comes down to assets, you know, that's a real value. And so sometimes, you know, some assets are overvalued, some undervalued. I believe their assets are undervalued. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, I think you guys have talked enough tonight, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, shut up.
Yes, sorry about that.
Right, Steve, the trader. Anything else to talk about? Steve?
Buy low, sell high.
Yep. That's it, Pete. Thanks. You know my secret.
Right, listen, Steve, what price are you getting back into Asia Met at? I think you should set some limit orders, scaling in. I've set a limit order, 2.75 pence, buy more. I don't know if I get there, but you know what? You've got to draw the line in the sand somewhere, you know what I'm saying? At the moment, you're not drawing any lines in any sand, you're just putting alerts, you're just saying there's sand out there. That's what you're saying.
Well, no, because if it goes down to 3, what I'm going to do, rather than just have it automatically buy for me, I'm going to manually, that's right, I'm going to watch it myself, and then just see where the price kind of goes down. If it starts going back up, I'll buy.
Oh, I love the way you say manually, Steve. I'm going to manually.
See, when you do an auto buy, A, it's not as fun, is it? Because you don't really have any say in it. Just kind
it
of
is fun. Oh, yeah. did I tell you, I bought Keffi Minerals today. For a long time, it's a big asset, big gold asset there, right? Net present value, 155 million. Market cap, about, what is it, 7 million, something like that? And I had the guy on the podcast a while back, and I put a limit order in that, right? Their last pricing was 0.35 pence. I put a limit order at 0.33. At the time, it was about 0.425.
Yeah.
So I thought, it may not even get down there, don't care. So I put loads of limit orders on stocks that I know, you know, are below placement. Today, Thursday, got filled. Dipped down, filled it, 4% dip, went back up to flat. I love that. That's why, Steve, you put it in just below a placing price that's happened. Sometimes it'll dip on a bit of volatility and realise, oh, hang on, this was the last time they raised money, it was below this. So they're worth more than this. It jumps back up. I like that. That's why. And do you know what, Steve? It was automated. It wasn't manual, but I got thrilled from automation.
But if you'd bought when they were first on the podcast 6 months ago...
I did buy, made a bit of profit from them and got out because I had too many stocks I was trying to cut down. And I've got in lower.
What's their name?
Keffi Minerals. K-E-F-I. I got in lower than I did originally. So,
look at you.
Automation is a good thing. See, do you know why? Yeah. It takes the emotion out of it. When you got emotion, you'll just press the buy button at the wrong price.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I think Asia Met there, I don't think they're going to have one of those spikes really, are they? I think they're going to be quite stable now. Do you think?
Famous last words, Steve. I think we'll end on that. Because do you know what? We'll see, fella. We'll see. We'll see whether they come down, trip up my buy order, shoot back up, and there's you sitting there manually as a trader trying to get some cheeky buys, and you know, and all it says is buy, buy, buy. You know? No, that's what we said before. I said, look at the chart, draw some lines of support, get onto your stockbroker there, put a limit order in, and forget about it.
Steve, at the very least, you should put a buy order for 2.8 or 2.76 so that if it dips down and you get some and then it goes back up and Justin's order isn't filled, you can laugh at him.
I just do 2.76. Might as well just do that, hadn't I?
That's what I just said. Yep, that's
it. I thought you said 2.8.
Yeah. Either. Anyway, just above Justin.
That's a good idea, actually. I'm going to do that now.
Well, I've put in a buy order that at 2.75 as well, so I guess we're probably not alone. So you might nick everybody's, you know, just beat everybody to it.
You are not alone.
I'd be very disappointed, though, if you two get it for 0.1 pence more than me, though.
Yeah. All right, well, listen. That's enough nonsense, yeah.
Yeah, it's nonsense. Yeah. Right, okay.
You've got to check out the net assets, man. Check it out, the net asset value. Have you seen the value on the net? Right, all right, then. Have a nice Easter, boys.
Merry Easter.
Yeah, watch out for that bunny.
He'll get you. Thanks, Steve.
All right.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.